Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. And this program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Now, on today's program, I want to share with you part of a testimony from a man who listens regularly to our Nepali language broadcasts in the country of Nepal. That's a small country in Asia, and it's sandwiched in between India and China. Here's what he says. I am a new believer in Christ. Before I met Jesus, I accidentally got infected with HIV. I was hopeless. But by the eternal grace of God, I heard your radio program. It renewed my hope to live. My heart continues to seek the presence of God. I am so happy. I am strengthening myself in faith of Jesus Christ. And I am getting nutrients for my spiritual life through your program. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Praise the Lord. Now, the last time we were together here on Hope for Today, we were studying Luke chapter 13 and verses 31 to 35 under the title, A Desolate House. The intense feelings of Jesus are recorded in this text, and they show us his heart, and they help us understand the tragedy of having a desolate house. The first feeling we looked at was resolute determination. Jesus' response to the threats of the Pharisees was this: I'm not going anywhere until my mission is completed. So, despite temptations and threats and insults, Jesus was focused resolutely on fulfilling his mission. Now, our text records two other feelings of Jesus regarding the desolate house. But before we look at them, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 13 and verses 31 to 35. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, Go tell that fox, Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly, I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As followers of Jesus Christ today, you and I are called to exercise that same resolute determination. We're called to carry his cross and finish the work he has marked out for us. In his absence, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Are you and I committed to fulfilling that mission regardless of the opposition we face? There are those today who use fear in an attempt to silence the truth. If you speak the truth, you're likely to be labeled a bigot or a hater or worse. Recent events demonstrate the use of social stigma and government power to stifle the practice and the proclamation of truth. So will we allow ourselves to be intimidated by the Herods of our day? Or will we, like the Lord Jesus, refuse to be turned aside from our mission? Resolute determination is needed. The second intense feeling that Jesus expressed is one of grievous lamentation. At the mention of his impending death in Jerusalem, Jesus utters a grievous lamentation over the city and its people. The repetition, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, increases the significance and the pathos of his cry. The larger context of this lament, in verse 24, pictures Jesus longing for and urging the Jewish people to enter the narrow door into his house. Once in the house, they would be protected from the coming judgment. He waits as long as he possibly can. But when the Father commands him to rise up and shut the door, only a minority has accepted his invitation. The vast majority are left outside the door. When they see the Gentiles entering the kingdom of God in their place, there is great weeping and gnashing of teeth. But it's too late. The choice has been made, and all that's left is the inevitable consequence of their rejection. The prophet Ezekiel informs us that the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Can you and I say the same thing? Do we grieve for those who enter eternity unprepared? In great anguish of spirit, Jesus cries out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not." Notice the contrast here. How often I would have, and you would not. Over and over and over again, God extended mercy and forgiveness to his people. And over and over and over again, they rejected his overtures of love. It's interesting how Jesus takes the homeliest of illustrations and imbues it with a divine significance. Picture in your mind, if you can, those fuzzy little defenseless chicks, completely dependent on their mother. And any time they feel threatened or frightened, they can run to her and hide beneath her protecting wings. If the mother hen is attacked while she's protecting her chicks, she will respond with fury, forgetting her own peril. She will gladly shed her last drop of blood and perish in the defense of her young, rather than yield them to the claws of an enemy. What a beautiful picture of what Jesus does and is for you and me and for all humanity. This is what he was offering to those who were listening to him in this text. And what was the result of all this tender and sacrificial love? He says, "You would not." Oh, what a mysterious word. Mysterious, the resistance of such patient love. Mysterious, the liberty of self-undoing. The awful dignity of the will, the power to choose. And oh, the terrible judgment that's gathering like a storm on the horizon. You know, sadly, it's still this way today. The offer of salvation and protection that Jesus gives is still being rejected. And not only are the rejectors not content with rejecting the message, they will do all they can to destroy the messengers. Like those in Jesus' audience that day, they don't see the gathering storm of God's wrath that's about to break upon them. Just try to imagine the grief and foreboding in the heart of Jesus as he utters the words recorded for us in verse 35. "Behold, your house is left for you desolate." What an awful pronouncement. He knew. He could see what was coming. What house was Jesus talking about? Is it the temple? Perhaps. If that's the case, notice how he calls it your house rather than my Father's house or my house. God's presence was no longer there. It had departed. Their worship was nothing but an empty form. They were, in a sense, milling around the door, claiming Jesus as one of their fellow countrymen, but refusing to acknowledge him as the only means of entrance into the kingdom. And there are many people just like them today. But the house Jesus is referring to is more likely the nation of Israel, the house spoken about in verse 25. The temple, the city, and the nation would soon be ravaged by the Roman armies. Yet it could have been much different. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 14, Jesus makes it clear that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of the promise of Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. Had the people accepted Jesus as the Messiah, as well as the suffering servant, Jesus would have inaugurated his kingdom. But their rejection postponed that event. That reminds me of the words of John Greenleaf Whittier, who wrote, "For all sad words of tongue and pen the saddest are these: it might have been. What an opportunity lost. Then Jesus closes this text with these words: truly, I tell you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, this may be an immediate reference to what we call the triumphal entry, but I believe it's more than that. You see, when the multitude shouted their hosannas to the Son of David on that special day, the Pharisees and the rulers were indignant. They tried to quiet them. They asked Jesus, don't you hear what these people are saying? They wanted him to hush the multitude, but he refused. I believe Jesus was looking forward to a time in the distant future, prophesied by the prophet Zechariah, who wrote, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. And I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. My friend, where are you in this picture? If you've not yet accepted Jesus' invitation to shelter under his wings, his tender heart yearns for you. Put your name in his lament in place of the name Jerusalem. How long will you spurn his love for you? How long will you reject his protective covering? Remember, judgment is gathering like a dark cloud on the horizon, and the only way of escape is through the narrow door, Jesus himself. And then, if you're already one of Jesus' followers, do you have a resolute determination to see your commitment through to the end? Or will you cower in fear from the threats of men? Will you be faithful in spite of opposition and rejection and loss? Is your heart stirred by the realization that every day multitudes of people pass into eternity unprepared? Does that bring a measure of grief to your heart and soul? Or are you like many of the people of Jesus' day, content to go through the motions of religion outside the power of God? My friend, whatever your need, today is a day of opportunity. Tomorrow may be too late. Accept the love Jesus offers to you and make sure your house will not be desolate. My friend, were you blessed by this study? If you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, A Desolate House. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, A Desolate House. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is via email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And I remind you, too, that our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.